morning and welcome to Wellspring, a service of Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital on 1450 WHTC, your hometown station.
Here is Sarah Dr. Sloot.
Thanks, Duke. Good morning and welcome to Wellspring, a live broadcast sponsored by Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital. Domestic violence and sexual assault are issues that affect individuals and families across all walks of life. To discuss this subject is Charisse Mitchell, Executive Director at the Center for Women in Transition. Good morning, Charisse.
Good morning.
And it's so nice to meet you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You grew up in Michigan.
I did. I grew up in Battle Creek. Went to high school there and went off to D.C. to go to college and fell in love with D.C. And worked for a human services association. But after our son was born, my husband and I said it was time to come home. So we did.
And you were hired as the executive director for the center. How long have you been in this position?
I have been here almost 5.5 years, and it's been absolutely wonderful.
So what is the mission of the Center for Women in Transition? I know we've all heard the name in the community.
The mission of the organization is to address, reduce, and prevent domestic and sexual violence in the community. We serve Ottawa and Allegan County.
And how long has the center been in existence?
Amazingly, 36 years.
And not only your headquarters, I would say headquarters,
right,
in Holland, but also offices. Or where did you start?
The center was born in Grand Haven. A group of JC's women looked at services in the community for women who were being abused and said, basically, we can do better. And partnered with First Presbyterian Church, which kind of gave us our first home there. And eventually we grew and expanded and moved our offices, our main office, to Holland. Still have an office in Grand Haven and also in Allegan in our program office. Here in Holland.
And, you know, you talk about the vision of some women. The center has expanded during that time. How many people work there and how many volunteers?
We have approximately 38 to 40 full-time and part-time employees and about 150 regular volunteers.
And how many people does the center serve on a yearly basis?
In any given year, we might serve up to 3,000 people, whether they're in emergency shelter or transitional housing, calling our crisis line, receiving sexual assault exams or therapy, but about 3,000 a year.
If you have a question, you may call WHTC at 395-1450. That's 395-1450. So let's talk about some of the services that the center provides.
Well, the one that we're probably most known for is our emergency shelter. It's in an undisclosed location in the county, and that's designed for a reason, to protect safety and confidentiality. But we also have transitional housing that provides case management, advocacy, and rental assistance for up to 2 years in the location of your choosing. We have specialized trauma therapy for adults and for children who've witnessed domestic violence in the home, because we know that affects that trauma affects children very differently than it does adults. And we also run the Girls on the Run program we administer as well. And we have a lot of prevention and education in schools and churches and businesses as well. But any kind of direct service for domestic violence or sexual assault provider or survivor, we provide.
Are all services confidential?
All services are confidential, and they're all free. We don't charge for any of our therapy or counseling or any of our services. And confidentiality is designed to protect your safety as a survivor, honor your life, and respect your wishes. And everything we do is based on an empowerment model, helping you make the choices that you feel are best for you.
So how prevalent is partner violence in Ottawa County?
Well, we know nationally 1 in 4 women suffer domestic violence in their lifetime. And every 2 to 3 minutes, someone in this country is a victim of a sexual assault. But in Ottawa County last year, according to the Michigan State Police Uniform Crime Report, there were over 1,200 reports of domestic violence in Ottawa County alone.
And I guess the key word is reported there.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. A good number of people choose not to report for any number of reasons. So these are just the cases that we know of. There are many, many more. A lot of clients who come to survivors who come to see us choose not to report to law enforcement. But we are happy to be there for them when they need us.
You know, you talked about sexual assault being women. Men can also be the victim.
Absolutely. Domestic violence knows no gender. Sexual assault knows no specific gender or educational background or ethnicity. It is about power and control, and women and men are both susceptible to abusers who choose to manipulate and try to control another person.
Okay, so let's talk about what are some of the signs of sexual abuse.
Well, for domestic
abuse. Let's go domestic abuse.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Most people are aware of physical signs. So if your coworker or friend in your church comes in with a black eye or is bruised, that's an easy sign. But we recognize that domestic violence isn't just about physical abuse. People may have a heightened sense of fear, isolate themselves from coworkers or friends. There may be this heightened sense of anxiety and nervousness about who's around or a fear of being with someone of another gender. There are economic abuse, somebody who doesn't seem to ever have access to money for a cup of coffee or to be able to go to lunch without asking permission from a partner. Someone who receives, 100 texts a day from the same person, constantly looking for where they are and what they're doing. That's a sign of control.
And some examples.
There may be, for instance, a partner who wants to control your comings and goings may choose to take your car keys away. So you can't leave the house or the neighborhood because someone else has your keys. Or if you don't have, you're given an allowance every day because you aren't allowed to spend any more than the money that you're given. As an adult who can make choices, you ought to be able to have access to things, or you're not allowed to go out with your friends or visit your family. Isolating you from your social support system is a way of control.
So if someone is being abused, why do they stay?
I am so glad you asked the question, why do they stay, as opposed to why don't they just leave? Because we recognize it's not that simple. If you are someone who is in an abusive relationship and you don't have a job, you don't have money of your own, you don't have any friends or relatives in the community, the idea of leaving that relationship and being completely isolated and alone with no support can be frightening. If your partner has threatened to harm you or to kill you or partners if you leave, that's a huge fear. And we don't fault anyone for saying, I'm afraid to leave. I'm afraid for my safety. You may have if you have children, your partner may say, you don't have anything to support yourself. If you leave and go out there on your own, I'll make sure that the kids are taken away from you. No parent would do anything to jeopardize their relationship with their children for fear of losing them.
And I think the key is when someone's in a relationship, they initially went into that relationship because they loved the individual.
Absolutely. No one gets married or is in a committed relationship thinking that they want to be abused. It is love that can sometimes bind people together, and you truly want to believe that the person you love wouldn't hurt you again, will stop and do what's necessary to heal the family, but sometimes that's not the case.
So if someone is listening, what should they do, or what are some of their options if they're being abused?
Well, one is to recognize that you have options and that there are people, as isolated as you may feel, as alone as you may feel, there are people out there who want to help and want to be supportive. So our first thought is if there is somebody that you trust at work, at school, in your church, in your neighborhood, reach out and ask for help. There's something about talking with someone and having someone support you in thinking through what your next steps are can give you a sense of strength and empowerment and give you the space to think.
Okay, and I know this is a question that I was going to ask later, and maybe I will ask it later. But, if you're trusting that individual, so if someone comes up to you and says, I really need to tell you something, in confidence, I'm being abused, how should that friend respond? Because they may not see that individual or that partner ever in that type of situation. So
Absolutely.
How should, if you came up to me, how should I respond?
I would hope that the first thing you do is believe me. It takes tremendous strength and courage to say to someone, I'm in a relationship where I am not safe, or my children are not safe. I need help. It's hard to ask for help. So if someone says that to you, as far-fetched as it may seem to you because you know that partner or you've never seen signs of abuse, listen to them, believe them, and let them know that you're there for them. You don't have to have all the answers. You can't rescue them necessarily, but you can be a resource for them. That one person, that the first person that I tell that I've been abused, if I have a negative experience with that, what are the chances are that I'm going to ask someone else for help? I need to feel supported.
Okay, so going back to my initial question, what should you do if you're being abused? First of all, you said find someone that you can trust, that you can confide in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you feel that you don't have that person, call someone like the center or a shelter or a crisis line in your area, because we can sit down with you either on the phone in real time or at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to talk about safety planning. Our first question is, are you safe where you are right now? And if you're not, then we can make plans to get you to a safe place immediately. If you feel that you're in a safe place now, then we have a little time to talk things through about the next steps, whether you choose to leave that relationship or if there are things that you can do in your home or wherever you are to stay safe where you are, and the people that you care about. You may feel safe, but you're worried about your kids. Well, let's talk about it.
You mentioned something about that people can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it's important for you to share about the crisis line that the center has available.
That's part of the reason we need those 150-plus volunteers, because our crisis line is available 24 hours a day. So if you call, we want to assure that there is a human being that you can talk to in that moment to help you either find emergency shelter, get connected with resources to support you, or if you just need to talk to someone. We have lots of people in this community who aren't available 9 to 5 or don't have access to a phone 9 to 5. But if you're working third shift and you got off at 6 o'clock in the morning, call us.
Well, and also, I mean, you know, if you are in an abusive relationship, to make that phone call, to be able to do it when that person may not be hearing it.
Absolutely. We don't assume that you have access to a phone when it's convenient for you. If 2 o'clock is the only, if after your partner has gone to sleep is the only time you can get to a phone and have a private conversation, then we're happy to help.
And you also have a line that's available for Spanish speaking.
Absolutely. We have a diverse community, and we want to be able to speak to as many people as we can in a language that they're most comfortable with. So whether it's English or Spanish, wish we had one in every language, but we don't yet. But there is an opportunity to speak with someone in Spanish.
And what is the number?
Our main crisis line number is 1-800-848-5991. For Spanish-speaking individuals, that would be 616-355-9755.
Right. And all of that information is on, you have a website,
yes,
right,
we
that
have
people
a
can
website.
Go to. Okay. So, you know, if someone, you know, comes to the point, you know, they've confided in someone or they've talked with you and they really have come to the point that they want to leave that abusive relationship, how should he or she prepare to get out of it?
First is thinking about where it is that you're going and who's going with you. And there are those things that we sometimes take for granted, those important papers that we keep in that lockbox in our office or in our basement, things like your Social Security card and birth certificate and banking information, insurance information, all of those things that connect you with the resources that you need on a regular basis, have with you if you can. We all know when we lose our driver's license, that's a really difficult thing to get back. And if you're starting over, what are the things that you would need to start your life over?
Also, if you have children, you need to take into account the impact for them and what the plans that may need to
Absolutely.
Be made.
Absolutely. And that's why our emergency shelter is the option that is best for you. We recognize that that's a very difficult thing to take children out of the home that they're comfortable in. So we try to make our emergency shelter as safe and as comfortable as possible. But you have to think about, what are the things my children are going to need? And sometimes you don't have the time to think through all of these things. You need to be safe now, so you literally walk out the door with nothing. If you're coming to us, we will help you start over. First, be safe. First, make sure your kids are safe, and then talk about what your next steps are. But you can do that in a place where you feel safe and supported. Much easier to think through what next steps are in a crisis if you feel safe.
And it's often difficult for people to come to that decision to leave, isn't
it? It very much so. It's not unusual for people to take 6-7 times leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back before that separation is permanent. But again, we recognize that leaving is not always the best option for someone. If domestic violence is about power and control, the second you choose to leave is the second that person who's been abusing you has lost ultimate control. So we understand what might happen. That's, leaving is perhaps the most dangerous time in someone's relationship. So if he's threatened to kill you or threatened to harm you or your children, we recognize that's a very difficult choice to make, and we don't take that lightly.
Just a few 30 seconds left. What's on the center's wish list for Christmas?
The center's, we do have an adoptive family program, but we do have that kind of permanent wish list. Things that whenever you're ready to start over in life, household items like pots and pans and small appliances and blankets, gently used clothing, coats, gift cards to help people do the kind of shopping they need, whether it's for personal items, things for their home, or things for their kids.
And we're out of time. Thanks for being here, Cherise.
Thank
the
you
center
so much,
is Sarah. Available 24/7 for immediate assistance. You can call the center's crisis line at 1-800-848-5991 or 616-355-9755 for Spanish-speaking individuals.